It's Tuesday, April 21st. Here's what's happening in Northeast Indiana. The Fort Wayne Housing Authority named a new CEO Monday, tapping Dana Christian for the role. A ban on using student IDs to vote is reinstated, barely 2 weeks before Indiana's primary election. And Indiana is one of the first states in the nation to crack down on non-citizens having commercial trucking licenses, or CDLs, according to Indiana lawmakers. I'm Brianna Barrow, and this is Who and What. The Fort Wayne Housing Authority named a new CEO Monday, tapping Dana Christian for the role. Christian will also serve as the agency's executive director. The position change became effective last week. She has served the agency in senior leadership, most recently as interim CEO. Her work so far has included overseeing the creation of Hillcrest Commons, the Housing Authority's 24-unit permanent supportive community. It was developed in the former Hillcrest School site in southeast Fort Wayne and opened earlier this year. She succeeds George Guy, who left the Housing Authority at the end of 2025 to serve as the CEO of Lighthouse Youth and Family Services in Cincinnati. According to a press release, Christian is originally from Detroit and will oversee the organization's strategic direction across housing operations, resident services, and partnerships that strengthen long-term outcomes for the families and individuals served. A ban on using student IDs to vote is reinstated, barely 2 weeks before Indiana's primary election. WFYI's Ben Thorpe reports the emergency stay granted by a U.S. appeals court could impact some 40,000 students in the state.
A federal judge granted a preliminary injunction last week, ruling that Indiana's law presented unconstitutional burdens and would fail on First and 14th Amendment claims. Last year, Indiana instituted a law against using student IDs to vote, with lawmakers arguing they did not prove residency. In a post to social media, Attorney General Todd Rokita called the emergency stay a win for election integrity and said, quote, "This common sense protection is needed to preserve public confidence in fair, honest, and transparent elections." Voting advocacy groups had argued the law was meant to keep student voters from casting a ballot. I'm Ben Thorpe at the State House.
Indiana is one of the first states in the nation to crack down on non-citizens having commercial trucking licenses, or CDLs, according to Indiana lawmakers. WFYI's Caroline Beck reports on how the new law is impacting Indiana's trucking industry.
Indiana has already revoked the CDLs of about 1,800 drivers, according to Indiana's Bureau of Motor Vehicles. That follows a new law that went into effect April 1st, which removes CDLs from drivers who no longer meet the proper requirements for an immigrant work visa. The new law is also meant to fine employers caught violating the new law. But Governor Mike Braun said during a ceremonial signing of the legislation that he didn't know of any Indiana companies currently breaking the law, but it's likely companies from other states who are employing drivers illegally.
I think we know where it's coming from. Indiana is just going to be a really good place to ferret it out because of how much commerce passes through our state.
The law makes it so that driving with a false CDL can be a level 6 felony. I'm Caroline Beck at the State House.
There may be a legal fight over an Indianapolis data center. Farrah Anderson reports residents of Decatur Township are asking a judge to step in and stop a planned data center.
In March, the Metropolitan Development Commission approved plans from Seattle-based developer Sabey to build a 130-acre data center in Decatur Township. Now, residents are asking the Marion County Superior Court to overturn that decision and block construction. In the filing, they argue the commission broke state law by approving variances that don't meet requirements. They also call the project a, quote, disguised rezoning without full city-county council review. Residents say the project could affect public health, citing concerns about constant noise, diesel emissions, water use, and nearby property values. The Sabey Data Center on Marion County's southwest side is one of several proposed developments around Indianapolis. I'm Farrah Anderson in Indianapolis.
Bella Fleck is a prodigious banjo player that's been pushing the boundaries of the banjo for over four decades. His current trio, featuring Colombian harpist Edmar Castaneda and Mexican percussionist Antonio Sanchez, brings a unique blend of sounds to their performances. The trio's rhythmic interplay creates a dynamic, exciting energy. WBOI's Cole Furlow sat down with Fleck ahead of their show at the Clyde Theater on Sunday, April 26th.
Bela Fleck plays the banjo. He was named Bela after one of the most influential 20th century musicians, the Hungarian composer Bela Bartok. And like Bartok, Fleck is a prodigy. For over four decades, he has pushed the limits of defining what a banjo can do. Since 2024, he's been playing in a trio with Edmar Castaneda, a Colombian savant harpist, and Mexican percussionist extraordinaire Antonio Sanchez. The trio brings an eclectic, fiery cocktail of sonic experimentations that highlight the highest caliber nuances of their instruments. Beat Trio is what they're calling it, and they're playing April 26th at the Clyde Theater.
Mr. Bela Fleck, thank you so much for joining me here on this interview. We are just overjoyed that you're going to be playing here at the Clyde coming up, and this version of your group now seems, if ever possible, even more interesting than anything you've done before, and I'm so excited to see this with Mr. Castaneda. The fact that you add Mr. Antonio in there, it just seems like such a beautiful thing that you're doing right now.
Well, thank you, Cole. It's nice to be here. Edmar is a phenomenon on the harp. Not only is he incredibly creative and intellectually complex and all that stuff, he plays with so much heart and so much, right. Oh, I don't know what to even call it, verve. It's so much fun to watch him because he loves it so much, and he plays with, there's a lot to watch with harp playing. It's very, very visual, and right. He's very visual. I'm more of a stand there still, you know, when I'm playing well, I'm hardly moving. But with the harp, it's like, so I'm glad someone's doing that so I can stand still. Right. And then Antonio is, you know, a phenomenal, obviously an incredible soloist. To me, just like someone like Victor Wooten, the accompaniment skills are even higher. Like, you know, everyone talks about Victor's incredible bass playing, right. But the way he makes you play when right. he supports you, the way he listens to you when you're doing your thing, really makes, you know, you really want to play with people that make you play better.
Right.
And I feel like Antonio is one of those guys who maybe his years of playing with Pat Metheny, he knows how to add just enough to get you excited and make a bed that's super comfortable for you to solo over. Right. And I find myself playing in ways that I don't expect when I play with these guys.
Are you still discovering the banjo still?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to make me happy, just sit me in a quiet room with my banjo and I just start looking around for sounds and right. registers and strings ringing into each other, and it still gets me excited. I love the instrument. I feel like the instrument tonally is like, if there's wood, there's metal, there's like bone, it's like there's skin. It's like all of those are part of the sound, and
right.
one component is bell. Right? Like, right. Oh, your banjo sounds like bells up the neck or whatever.
Right.
Another component is wood, like a woody, rich, chestnutty kind of sound right. that I like to go for rather than the super bright, harsh quality. But that shouldn't always be bad either. There are times when that's appropriate too. You
right.
know,
right.
you need to cut through something, or when the music is very intentionally abrasive or harsh and power, you know, intense that way, that
right.
can be very powerful too.
This is something I think every musician wants to do, but I think you have a different plight than most. Do you ever sit back and just so grateful for all the jam sessions and amazing musicians you played with?
Greatest job in the world, because not only do I get to do something I love, I get to do it with the greatest musicians, as you said, the greatest musicians in the world that
yes, sir.
That I revere. I've gotten to play with. I'm amazed, and I've gotten a lot further than I ever thought I would, and I've had to redefine, you know, who I am and what I need to do after achieving things I never expected to happen. But I feel like I owe it to all of that, those successful, and when I say success, I mean that I get to keep doing it. Like comedians say, if you're still working, you're a success.
Right, right. Well, yeah, you're existing.
So I feel like I'm so fortunate that I need to actually be as good as people are saying I am. I have to do the work. I have to make sure I'm actually doing something new and making sure that it's idealistic and, you know, just try to be good and thankful, you know, remember how lucky I am.
That's great. Bela Fleck, thank you so much for doing this interview. And
my pleasure.
We're going to listen to a little Bela Fleck right here, right now on 89.1 WBOI. Thank you so much.
Find the extended version of this conversation at WBOI.org. More news in a moment. Claim your favorite songs and relive past playlists from your favorite WBOI music shows anytime. WBOI.org has each music show's playlist along with information about your favorite hosts. There you'll also find details on sharing your favorite tracks for air. Enjoy WBOI music anytime on your time at WBOI.org/music. Here's what to know for today. Governor Mike Braun announced an agreement with Eli Lilly and Company to explore nuclear energy as a way to meet growing energy needs in Indiana. The state invested $15 million in a partnership with Iron Nation, an Israeli tech startup initiative which came under scrutiny after it launched last week. And after months of back and forth and pressure from the White House to drop out, Republican Alexandra Wilson has been approved to appear on the primary ballot in May. That's who and what for Tuesday, April 21st. These stories and more can be found at WBOI.org or on the WBOI app. Subscribe to Who and What on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can ask your smart speaker to play Who and What. If you enjoy this podcast, you'll also enjoy our newsletter Frequency at WBOI.org/frequency. Music for Who and What is produced by Jack Ankenbrook. From all of us at WBOI, thanks for being with us and have a great rest of your day.